Michelle, and on behalf of our pastor, Dr. Jack Graham, it is my privilege to welcome you to our online service right here at our Plano campus. And let me be the first to tell you, Merry Christmas. This is the best time of year. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship with us. Well, I want you to stay connected to everything going on right here at Prestonwood. So get your phone out and text the word guide to the number 74788. And I'll be sure and send you a digital copy of our worship guide. So that's the word guide to the number 74788. Well, if you have any questions and you want to know more about the church, there's also a great team in the chat with you. They'd be happy to answer any questions you have, or if you need prayer, it would be our privilege and our honor to pray specifically for your prayer needs. There's an online prayer form, or you can leave us a comment as well. While you're in the chat, say hello to someone. This is a great time to stay connected to our Prestonwood online family. Well, Pastor Graham's got a great message as we continue the Hope of Christmas series. Invite someone to join us on Tuesday for our Christmas Eve candlelight service. It will be a blessing. Right now, get on your feet. Our worship service begins now.
Big Prestonwood, welcome to church. How are you doing this morning? Good. Would you stand and worship with us? We're going to learn a new chorus together. I'm going to teach it to you, and then we'll sing it together. All right? Very simple. It goes like this. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest forever for all he has done, his unfailing love. Glory to God in the highest forever. It's that easy. All right? Can we sing it together? Let's try it. We sing, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest forever, for all he has done, his unfailing love, glory to God in the highest forever. Just like that, sounds great. I'm gonna sing one of our favorite Christmas carols, Angels We Have Heard on High. Wake up together a little bit, okay? You know this part. We sing, angels.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains.
We sing Gloria.
Come adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King.
You sing Gloria, come on.
To God.
ones, the first Noel. Let's sing it together.
The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. No.
Welcome to church. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. We're right there. We're just a few days away. We're so glad that you're here with us at Prestonwood today. Before you do anything else this morning, why don't you find someone around you you have not said good morning to yet. Say Merry Christmas to you. You can go ahead and find your seat as we continue to worship together this morning through believer's baptism.
Well, church family, we do continue to rejoice and worship. We have 5 this hour coming to be baptized and 2 in our 9:30 service. So altogether, 7 this morning standing publicly and boldly for their faith in the Lord Jesus. This is my friend Justin Sanchez. Justin, I'm very proud of you, and I know you want to stand for Jesus today. So, Justin, are you following Christ in baptism because you've trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Because of your testimony of faith in Jesus and in obedience to his command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is Chris Sanchez. Chris and Justin are not family related, but they're related in the Lord Jesus. And they just met each other as brothers in Christ, and we celebrate Chris with you. Chris, are you following Christ in baptism because you've trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior?
Amen, yes.
Because of your testimony of faith in Jesus and in obedience to his command, it's my privilege to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have five guys being baptized today, five men in Christ. This is Billy Mayer. Billy, are you following Christ in baptism because you've trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
Because of your testimony of faith in Jesus and in obedience to his command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Next, we have Shane O'Brien. Shane, are you following Christ in baptism because you've trusted him as your Savior and Lord?
Yes.
Because of your testimony of faith in Jesus and in obedience to his command, Shane, it's my privilege to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And finally, this young warrior for Jesus right here, this is Jeremiah Smith. Jeremiah, I love your family. Your mom and dad are precious, and they love you, and I know you love Jesus. Jeremiah, are you following Jesus today in baptism because you've trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior? Because of your testimony of faith in Jesus, Jeremiah, and in obedience to his command, it's my privilege to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
Isn't that an awesome way to start our day, to start our week, just to celebrate with people who have given their life to Christ? We're going to hear more about that in just a little bit. And if you have never heard about Christ or started your relationship with Jesus, you're going to have an opportunity to do that today. Welcome to Prestonwood. My name is Caleb. I'm one of your worship pastors. And for those of you in this room, maybe it's your first time joining us today. Maybe you've been coming for a few weeks and you're trying to figure out if this is your church home. Welcome. You're part of our family today. We would love to get to know you a little bit better. You can text the word CONNECT to 74788. Someone will hit you back and answer any question that you may have about our church. Also, right after this service, you can walk out those back doors into our atrium, find the table with a banner that says Guest Central. Let them know it's your first time here. We have a gift for you, the Powering Up book from our pastor. Make sure that you leave here today with that book in your hands. For those joining us online, if you don't know, there are thousands of people every single week who make this a part of their weekly worship rhythms to join us online. Welcome. You're a part of our family as well. Thank you for being so faithful to continue to invite people into your homes for worship. And whether you're joining us online or in the room, something we want to make sure that you know about, this Tuesday is Christmas Eve. It's come really fast. It seems every year it comes faster and faster. This Tuesday is Christmas Eve, and we have some Christmas Eve services we want to invite you to. You have four options here at the Plano campus. Starting at 1:30, we go every hour and a half, 1:30, 3, 4:30, and 6. And these services include worship and prayer, a children's moment, so make sure you bring your families with you, a Christmas message, and then we end every service with our favorite part, the candlelight. This is an incredible opportunity for you to invite someone who otherwise might not go to church. Sometimes some of the friends that we invite on Sunday mornings that may say no to us, most people are finding a place to go to church on Christmas Eve. Why not here with you? Speaking of Christmas, last week we wrapped up our 14-show Gift of Christmas run. Thank you guys so much for partnering with us. So many of you invited people, bought tickets for people. And just like every single year, God worked a miracle at the Gift of Christmas. Check this out.
Our mission is the kingdom of God. Our goal is to make his name famous. This is one of the ways that we do it. We say to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord.
We are to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because our labor is not in vain. Our work for God echoes.
And tonight, somebody here is going to be saved. Maybe many are going to be saved. Maybe a bunch are going to come. Only heaven is going to reveal the impact of this show and this night
God is using you to touch people, to change life, to change families.
You have an opportunity to give people a lasting memory. What are they going to remember whenever they walk away from here?
And that is your beautiful anointed assignment tonight, to remind people of the rest of the story. They might have come in with a part of the story that might be difficult, but we're to let them know that when the angels cried out, peace on earth, goodwill to all men, that will touch every single one of us.
So when you go out to sing tonight, let the shepherd carry you on his shoulders. And remember that the good news that you share and sing and show is the hope of the world.
God loves, God gave, we believe, and then we live. Thank you for coming to earth so that we could go to heaven and take as many people with us as possible. In Jesus' name, amen.
Never underestimate the importance of an invite. There are so many of you who are here right now, or you're watching online, that you're a member at Prestonwood because someone invited you to a Christmas show years ago. There are many of you who, in previous years or this year, have invited people that didn't know Jesus to come, and they turned their light on. We hear story after story after story just like that, following every gift of Christmas. Never underestimate the importance of an invite, and please be praying toward who you can invite this Tuesday to the Christmas Eve service. Someone's eternity will change simply because you invited them. As our ushers come forward to receive the offering this morning, one of the reasons that we continue to make a push on giving through the end of the year is because our ministry does not end at the end of the year. Everything that we are giving now rolls right into the new year and continues to bless the people around us, whether it's through sending people out on missions, blessing church plants and church partners, reaching out into the community. It is all due to your generous giving. So let's finish strong. God, it is good to be in your presence. We're thankful for what you've already done this morning. We're thankful for what you've done in this month of December. And it is a crazy, busy, hectic month for many of us. Just in the next few days, weeks, even right now, in the next few minutes, we want to slow down and breathe and recognize that you are at the center of all of it. Holy Spirit, pull us back to the center. Everything we have and everything we do this time of year is for you. So in the next few moments, whether it's through giving or whether it's through singing, we offer it all up to you as a sacrifice of praise. We love you. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son. So bring him incense cold and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise a song on high. The virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary. Mary, this is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross he bore for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken. Savior, I'm yours forever, Jesus. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, "The grave has no claim on me." Then came the
Well, I got to tell you, I'm fired up. It's Christmas, and we get to declare the truth that Christ is born, that he lived, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he rose again, that he ascended, is at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming back. Jesus is coming back because he is Lord. And in the meantime, we want to do everything possible to tell this good news with great joy. Do you still have the joy? I know there's a lot of stress and push and pressure at this season, but what a good time. This is the final Sunday of Advent, the Advent season. And of course, Christmas Eve, Tuesday, and then on Christmas Day, this coming Wednesday. But on this last Sunday that we have before Christmas, what an opportunity to be together and to worship and to center our hearts upon him and his wonderful name. We're coming off the most successful gift of Christmas ever from my vantage point and viewpoint. It's truly, and you saw the video, and it was magnificent to be a part of this. Huge thanks to everyone. Who prayed, who participated, who brought people, who attended. When you see those 767 decisions for Christ that were registered, and 300 and something Bibles that we gave away. Now remember, not everyone registered their decision. From my place, and I stood here and gave that invitation, when we invited people to pray and receive Christ and hold up their flashlights, in case you weren't here, we just simply asked people who pray to receive Christ to turn on the flashlight on their cell phone and hold it up. And every night there were at least 200 lights that came on. So you add that up, that's what, 2,500, 3,000 people who made a decision for Christ at the gift of Christmas. And many of these people, you say, well, will it last? Well, God knows. I mean, was it real? God knows. And many, of course, are real. I mean, we may never meet these people this side of heaven, but they're going to be people that we meet in heaven who came to Jesus at the gift of Christmas. And I'm certain of that. I'm confident of that. And then we're following up on everyone who gave their information to us. So we're sending a Bible and we're offering prayer and ministry. And speaking of ministry, you know, the night before the gift of Christmas started, 14 performances, there is dress rehearsal. And dress rehearsal runs just like the show. It never stops. So over the years, we've taken that opportunity to invite people in who maybe couldn't get tickets or even couldn't afford tickets, people who are in our ministries of all kinds, including our pregnancy center ministry. We had, through our pregnancy center ministry and partners with the pregnancy center ministries, we had a group of girls and young women who had been trafficked and were coming out of trafficking here, and to share the gospel with them. Our Espanol ministry, our ministry to the community and to the underprivileged. And so on that night, we had 3,300 people who came to see it, and just, you know, we shared it with them. So close to 80,000 people saw the gift of Christmas. And again, this is the work of Christ, because, yeah, we have a lot of fun. We have a big show, but it is all about Jesus and that moment we shared the gospel. I was talking to Ronnie Webb and Mike Gurley, who helped me with security here, and they were telling me just right before we came in here that both two of their grandchildren accepted Christ during the gift of Christmas. And now they're going into the gift to the new Christians class that we have for children. So, it just occurred to me, how many children, little boys and girls, who come to the gift of Christmas, you know, that's their first big exposure maybe to the gospel, to hear the gospel, to respond. And it just, I could go on and on, but truly a wonderful time. And now we have Christmas Eve services that are coming up. And I hope you'll take advantage of passing out these invitations. These are door knockers and cards, door hangers. And Rowdy and I, that's our beagle, one of our beagles. Rowdy and I, on our walk the next 2 days, are going to put this on every door in our neighborhood. So when you leave, would you help us do that? Take these to your neighborhood or your cards to your business. I don't know if you're open on Monday or not, or just cards to pass out to people. And it's not even too late to put a sign out. You didn't. I said, I should have put a sign out. Okay, you got 3 days. Put one of those big Christmas at Prestonwood signs up at your house or apartment, and people will see it. So, you know, it is a great time to share the gospel and tell people who Jesus is. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, and chapter 1. And then be ready. You may want to start turning to Isaiah chapter 9 as well, because I'm speaking on this subject, the name above every name. Hope at Christmas has a name, and that name is Jesus. And the angel shows up, speaks to Joseph. You ever feel bad for Joseph that he really never got a song named after him? But anyway, Joseph was there when the angel came. And it said, this is verse 20, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her, we speak of the miracle of the virgin birth. The miracle was really the virgin conception when the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. For what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son. And you shall call his name, say it, Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You say Jesus came to earth to take us to heaven, but before he can take us to heaven, we must be forgiven. So he came to forgive us of our sins, to prepare us to go to heaven. Now there are many names that describe the Lord Jesus. Magnificent names, over 350 different names, appellatives, descriptions of Jesus in the Bible. Names like Son of God and God the Son and Son of Man and, of course, Emmanuel and Alpha and Omega and King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All the many wonderful names, because in reality, no one name could say it all about Jesus. But there is a name. There is one name. And it is the name of Jesus, the one and only Savior of the world. That's what the name Jesus means. It really was a common name in the time of Christ. Many little boys were named Yeshua. From the Hebrew, Joshua, Yeshua, or Jesus. And that name means the Lord saves. And so all of his life, Jesus bore and wore this name that he saves, that God saves. And that name tells us so much about who Jesus is and why he came to this earth to forgive us of our sins so that we could go to heaven. The name of Jesus is a beautiful name. It is a wonderful name, a powerful name, a precious name, the sweetest name I know. I can't remember a time in my life where I wasn't hearing, thanks to a Christian heritage and home, that I wasn't hearing the name of Jesus. Unfortunately, many people don't have that privilege. Or if the name of Jesus is used in their home, it's profanity. But the beautiful, powerful, precious name, the holy name of Jesus, I heard it. And if you had that kind of access to this powerful name, give thanks to God for that. And let's be reminded that there are people all around us in our own neighborhoods who, if they've heard the name of Jesus, they don't really know what it means or why that name is such a saving name, such a spectacular, supernatural name. And there are people around the world so who've never heard the gospel. I heard a missionary speaker one time say something like, "Why should you get a chance to hear the name of Jesus twice when there's so many people in the world who've never even heard it once?" So there are people who've never heard this wonderful name of Jesus. So we give and we go and we share and we participate in taking the gospel to our neighbors and to our nation and to the nations of the world, because we want the whole world to know the name of Jesus. Peter would say later that there is no name given among men by which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. The scripture says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. His name is an eternal name. His name is an exclusive name. He said that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. What a wonderful name is Jesus' name. The writer of Amazing Grace, the famed hymn Amazing Grace, John Newton, a former slave trader who came to faith in Christ, he became a pastor and a hymn writer. He wrote many hymns, and here's one that he wrote, not so famous, but 1779, these words: "How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes our sorrows and heals our wounds and drives away our fears. It makes the wounded spirit whole and calms the troubled breeze. It is manna to the hungry soul and to the weary rest." How many of us have called upon the name of Jesus in times of trouble, times of pain, and times of struggle, times of heartbreak? And sometimes it was only the only thing we could breathe. We were in such grief. Just Jesus. Jesus. And the power of his name and the presence of Christ in his name changes everything. There's music in the name of Jesus. It's melodious to say his name. And it fits just right on my lips to say Jesus.
So he saves. He came to save. To save us from our sins because we've all sinned. And this is the difference in the Christian faith and all the religions of the world. Because all the religions and philosophies of the world are men trying to get to God by human effort, by religion, by tradition, by ritual, by whatever means. This is religion. It's our effort to save ourselves in some way. But the Christian faith is that God came to us, that he came down to us in order that we might be saved, that the gift of his grace might be ours, because we can't earn or deserve our salvation. You might as well stop trying. You can't do it. Only Jesus saves. His name. So, 700 years before Christ was born, the prophet Isaiah spoke of Jesus and his name. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, "For unto us a child is born." So the child, the Savior, this speaks of the birth of Christ in his humanity. A child is born. "But unto us a son is given," the Son of God given, that's his deity. "So both humanity and deity. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called." Let's say it out loud together. "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Of the increase of his government and of his peace, there will be no end. "On the throne of David and over the kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Here Isaiah is fast forwarding into eternity when Christ comes again in great glory and all the governments of this world will be upon his shoulders. But before the governments would be upon his shoulders, he would carry the cross on his shoulders. And his kingdom would come within us when we trusted in him. But then these wonderful parallel names, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I like the way that Bible teacher and author Warren Wiersbe described these names. He said, Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor. This takes care of the dullness of life and the decisions of life. Wonderful Counselor. You know what the word wonder means, wonderful. The Bible speaks of the wonders of God, the miracles of God. So everything about Christ and Christmas is supernatural, it's wondrous, it's wonder-filled. You take away the supernatural from Christmas, and you have nothing left. I love the wide-eyed wonder of the video, seeing people watching the gift of Christmas, from children to the aged, just eyes wide open in wonder, and that's just the best that humans could do in a show. But imagine the wide-eyed wonder when we see Christ face to face, and just the wonder, the miracle of knowing him now takes care of this dullness that so many people have in life. So many people are bored to tears. There's just one philosopher, Bertrand Russell, said that boredom leads to most every sin. So people are bored, there's dullness, they have no real meaning in their lives. I pulled an article that I read last week about the word of the year according to the Oxford Dictionary. Word of the year, you know, every year the Oxford Dictionary picks a word. And this year, the word of the year is, are you ready for this? Brain rot. Now, when I read that, I thought, you know, you guys at Oxford aren't that smart, because that's actually two words. Brain rot. But what is brain rot?
The word is defined as the deterioration of a person's mental or intellectual state, especially viewed as a result of the overconsumption of material, now particularly online content, considered to be trivial or unchallenging. This article goes on describing what it does to the brain, the numbing and the dumbing down of the brain, this constant scrolling, and they can actually take pictures of your brain online and what's happening to our brains. And what they're saying is this brain rot. It lessens your attention span. One of the problems that we have with especially young people today, really everyone, but young people, there's so many mental health issues and anger and anxiety and agitation and depression and loneliness. And yet people are constantly on their phones scrolling because they're bored and they're trying to be entertained. And the problems that we have with these, with young people in particular, is content. What people see online is content, including a whole lot of porn. And then the other thing is sleep disorders. And it's more than just the blue light effect of looking at a screen. It's just your brain doesn't turn off. You're scrolling, you're looking at these things hour on end, and so you don't sleep well and you wonder why. Get up in the middle of the night, go at it again. And then the other thing is distraction. The other problem is just distraction. We're not able to focus on family or friends or the people around us. And I mean, you go to a restaurant and there'll be a family sitting there and everybody's on their screens instead of talking to one another. Brain rot. Because people are bored. Let me tell you something. Stop scrolling, getting stuck on the scroll, and start getting stuck on the scriptures. Start scrolling the Word of God and watch the wonderful counselor begin to guide you and give you spiritual growth in your life. Where do you go when you're making decisions in life? If you need a counselor. Now, there are wonderful counselors who counsel from a biblical perspective. We do this here through our life recovery ministry and in many other ways. So counseling can be a good thing, but where do you go for counseling? When you have decisions to make, when there are demands upon your life and you need strength for today, where do you go for your information? Well, some people go to Siri. I brought my phone. So let's just ask Siri a couple of questions. Hey, Siri, What is the meaning of life?
Personally, I would say to never stop asking, but that's just me.
Okay, not very helpful. Siri, what is the meaning of life? Well, she doesn't want to talk. Maybe she's embarrassed by this answer. Maybe it's just about doing things that make you stop wondering what life is all about and instead just start enjoying life for what it is. Oh, here's another one. Hey, Siri, what is the meaning of life? Hey, Siri, what is the meaning of life? It's nothing Nietzsche couldn't teach you. As a philosopher. Oh, and here's one. There's a line that the Beatles sang about that. Goo goo gajoob. Not that helpful, Siri. And then there's AI and all the chat with AI that's going on. And, you know, AI can be good, it can be bad, and we have to learn how to use it properly. But I just saw this week that there is a church in Switzerland. And in fact, it's the oldest church in Switzerland. And now you can go to this church and they have an avatar through AI that is an avatar of Jesus. And so you can go talk to Avatar Jesus at this church. So far, over 900 people have gone to confession. There's a little booth you can go in and check out Avatar Jesus. And I presume ask questions. They say we answer these questions from the Bible. I don't know. But let me tell you something. I don't need an avatar Jesus. We have the real Jesus. We do. And you can talk to him anytime. And you don't have to go to a church to do it. You don't have to go to a little booth to do it. Because there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So where do you get your information? Where do you get your education? Where do you get your spiritual motivation? It's God's word, the Bible. And I like what the NLT, the New Living, translates 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So you've got the Jesus book. You've got the Bible. I often sign my name with the Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word, O Lord, is a light into my path and a light to my feet. Jesus is the wonderful, wonderful counselor. His name is wonderful. I grew up, many of you also grew up, singing a little chorus called His Name is Wonderful. I'm going to teach it to you this morning. And those of you who know it are going to help me. You ready? Sing along with me. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. How good does that feel? Just to speak his name, to sing his name. His name is above every name. He is wonderful counselor, taking care of the dullness of life, taking care of the decisions of life. And he is the mighty God, which takes care of the demands of life. And we all have demands upon us, pressures. And we have the mighty God. Jesus is the one, because Christ is not in heaven somewhere, way out there. For the Christian, for the believer, Christ is in us because of the Holy Spirit. His Spirit, he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to live in you. Have you realized yet that the Christian life is not hard? People say, well, the Christian life is hard. No, the Christian life is not hard. The Christian life is impossible. In our own strength, our own ability. And God never told us, go live the Christian life. He said, I'm going to be in you. My Holy Spirit will be alive. Jesus will be born in you. His Spirit will enable you and empower you to overcome temptations, to be strong in the struggles of life, to share the gospel of good news, to make an impact with your life. The Holy Spirit, he's the mighty God. I don't know how big your problems are, but the mighty God, Jesus, is bigger than any problem you have in your life. Amen. His name is Jesus. Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine, which is debauchery. There's a lot of drinking and drunkenness that goes on at the Christmas season. Well, after all, it's Christmas. Put that away. Get the real spirits, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit who is the Holy Spirit who is within us, who will give you joy and grace in your life. So this takes care of the demands of life. There's no demand in your life but that the power of God through the name of Jesus. Pray in his name. Watch Christ move. And then he is the everlasting Father, which Wisby suggests takes care of the dimensions of life. The dimensions of life. Because life is here and now, but beyond, we are made for eternity. He has set eternity in our... So you've got this life, but what about the afterlife? What about the next life? You have a now life, but what about the next life? You will spend the next life, the afterlife, either in heaven with Christ because you have believed and received and trusted Christ, having repented of your sins. You will spend eternity in heaven because you trusted in his name, you believed in his name, or you will spend eternity in hell, separated from God in torment forever and ever and ever. But Jesus takes care of the dimension of life. Because when you trust in Jesus, you're given a hope and a future with him. He is the everlasting Father. God is the creator of everyone, but he's not the father of everyone. You say, oh, yes, God's the father of everyone. No. Jesus spoke to the unsaved Pharisees and said, you're of your father, the devil. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he the right to be called the children of God. So how does God become your father? Through his son. Philip, one of the disciples, said, show us the Father and it will be enough. And he said, have you been with me all this time and you've not seen the Father? Jesus is the Father. Jesus is the Father on the ground. He is the way to the Father. No one comes to the Father except by me. So the dimensions of life, he is the everlasting Father. Jesus is from the everlasting. He is the triune God. And he is forever the Father in heaven. He is the everlasting Father. When you need a father, I'm grateful that I had a wonderful dad. Some of you didn't. Maybe you had a dropout dad. Maybe you had an absent dad. Maybe you had a dad who was not a good man. And you kind of felt like an orphan. But you have a good, good father in heaven who will be your father, a father to the orphans and to the widows, to the lonely. I know when my dad that I loved was brutally murdered in 1970, I felt absent of an earthly father. It was stunning. I was just 20 years of age. But since that day, the Father in heaven has comforted me and strengthened me. I have a Father in heaven who's always present. His name is Jesus. And then one final word, he said, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Now we know there won't be peace on earth until Christ comes again. When the angels shouted that night, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men, people say, well, see, there's no peace. I've never known a time where there's so much division and violence and chaos and war in the world. People being gunned down on city streets and violence in homes, abuse and wars and rumors of wars. So were the angels wrong? When they said, peace on earth, goodwill, Christ is born? No, the angels were not wrong. Because what the angels literally said, peace on earth to all people of goodwill. Literally, of grace. So you get it? To people of grace who have received God's Son, the gift of his love, the gift of his grace, there is peace, and that peace is within. It's the peace that passes understanding. It's a peace that is indescribable but unmistakable. You sense his presence and his peace in your life because he's the Prince of Peace, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And when he reigns and rules in us, he brings peace to the governance of our lives. And the way to have the peace of God is to have peace with God. You say, what do you mean? We were born with our backs towards God, enemies of God. And that's the whole point of Christ coming to earth. He came on this mission of reconciliation to renew the relationship that has been broken between God and humanity. We sang about it early in one of the lines of the song, the chasm. The chasm was so wide. And yet, God came and crossed the chasm and took the cross. Through the empty tomb, conquered death, he is our living hope. And therefore, we have peace. Peace with God, because we know that he is with us. And the peace of God that passes all understanding. And it's all because of Jesus, the name that is above every name, who is God with us. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful name, the powerful name, the beautiful, precious name of Jesus. And in that name, we know that we are forgiven and our future is settled with you. And so we worship you. The only response is to say, praise you, God, with adoration and devotion to you. Thank you for coming to earth to be with us so that one day we could trust you as Savior, that you would be in us, and then one day we will be with you in heaven. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our redemption, God.
bow your heads with me in prayer. Now, to those of you who do not know Jesus, some watching online, many right here in this room, some have never openly professed the name of Jesus in salvation. The Bible says if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. So if you want to be saved, Jesus wants to save you. He brought you here for this time. He loves you. And if you will pray, Lord Jesus, I trust you as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, I invite you to come into my life. Jesus, I ask you to save me. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, live in me. And Jesus, I will confess you and follow you all the days of my life. In the power of your Holy Spirit, until you come for me. And if you prayed that prayer, wherever you are, right where you stand, say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your wonderful salvation. You're a wonderful Savior, Jesus. You're a wonderful Lord. Now I want to ask you to take another step. We have pastors that are going to be standing here at the front and upstairs in the balcony. I'm going to ask you to do what Jesus commanded us to do, and that is to confess him before men. Don't be ashamed of the name of Jesus. If he has saved you, is saving you, or if you have questions about, maybe you don't know, you want to know more, come forward today when we sing this hymn of invitation and make that decision. Declare the name. You say, why come forward? It will be an act of confession and profession of your faith and the name of Jesus. Name his name. Claim his name. By coming forward today, our pastors will be here and will respond to you. If you're online, there's a number, 74788. Text the word Jesus. Text Jesus right now to 74788. We want to connect with you. We want to give you a Bible and follow up on your decision for Christ. And all of you right here in the room who want to make that commitment, come today. What a wonderful time to give your life to Christ at this Christmas season. If you know Christ and you want to join this church, you want Prestonwood to be your spiritual home, we receive members just like this every week. So come forward as well. I want to ask that everyone stay with us and pray with us in the name of Jesus. There are people all around you who need the Lord, who need God's grace. So pray for people. Be a prayer partner. Help me give this invitation. And Lord, may men, women, boys, and girls do right now what they'll be so glad that they've done when they stand before you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come right now. Let's sing it. Oh, come. Step to the nearest aisle and make your way.
Joyful and triumphant, oh come ye.
Upstairs and right across the lower level.
Oh come and behold him.
Again online, 74788. Text Jesus. If you're standing by a family member or a friend, volunteer to walk with them. Worship him.
The Lord is worthy, for he alone is worthy.
Oh. grateful for those of you who are responding. And if in your heart you want to know more about what this means, for whatever reason you didn't make your way here, go to Guest Central, which is right in the middle of the lobby, the atrium. In fact, I'm going to be out there in the center of the atrium this morning. If I've not met you, if you'd like to say hello, I'd love to wish you a Merry Christmas. Meet our guests. If you have guests or family members, I'll be there till the last person leaves, so come by and say hello. But at Guest Central, you can pick up a Bible. If you're a guest, as noted earlier, you can get one of my books on the Holy Spirit. So just go by Guest Central before you go. Check out the buffet down at Main Street. It's delicious. And if you're a first-time guest, you get a free one. Go to Guest Central, pick up your affidavit or whatever we call it, tickets, to go down there and get a free buffet. And one more thing before we go. You're going to want to hear this. Our wonderful bookstore ministry, and I call it a ministry. Our bookstore is not a business. In fact, we don't make money on it. We provide resources for sale that enable people to buy Bibles and Christian books and materials that help grow our faith and or gifts. So some of you are behind for your Christmas gifts. So I happen to know the person who runs the bookstore. And she told me to tell you this morning, are you ready? Everything in the bookstore is 20% off. Everything. Gifts, Bibles, books, CDs. I don't even know if we sell those anymore. But everything we got in there is 20% off. God bless you. And again, if you'd like to say hello, I'll be in the atrium as soon as I can get there.